the end of this chapter, and to be ready for the next chapter, in the next chapter, I have to make clear to you the main points of paragraph 12. And although this is something that we have done before, it is very concentrated. Just the main point that the Yerach Hashem makes is that, and this is really the basis for it, that all the time that the Neshama is in the body, in this world, it is impossible but that evil clings to it. It is impossible for it to free itself completely from that evil. And as long as the body is in this world, it is chashucho ba'amumo. That is, it is in darkness, it is darkened, and it is dim. Now, this is the important thing to be able to understand here, is that the soul is now in the body. Does it gain anything from being in the body? And the answer is, it gains a tremendous amount from being in the body. But you will remember that the functions of the soul, I should really ask you to give it to me, but I'm afraid that you might not know it, unless there's somebody in particular that would like to give it to me, because you've gone through it several times. What are the functions of the soul?
The one
yes, one is in this.
I remember that I read it to you like that.
Yeah.
So what is that? Well, that's the third one. What's the first one? Just plain life. The life and the senses. That the body is alive and the senses. That is the first. The second is the intellect. And the third is the purification of the body. Now, all the time that the body, that the soul is in the body, it is progressing and it is advancing, but it is incarcerated and it cannot perform any function. It cannot perform the function of the purification of the body. That is something that we've got to be able to understand. The example that I gave you was, it was like the radium, that you've got the radium and you've got a partition, a lead partition, and it cannot penetrate the lead partition, which doesn't mean that it cannot gain strength from where it is. So then you've got a situation of the soul, that the soul becomes stronger, the soul becomes deeper and greater, and yet it is unable to penetrate the body. So that isn't so difficult to understand. So through the life that a person leads, he attains a measure of perfection. Now when I speak about perfection, I think you've gathered already by now that I'm using the word perfection not in as a noun, but I'm using it as a participle, that there is an ongoing process of perfection. And so that is how I'm using the word perfection. And that is the way the Derech Hashem uses the word shleimus. Now, really, as it progresses, the soul progresses, it should be able to purify the body. To be able to do it. It is becoming stronger and stronger. But that is, Hashem prevented that. And that is a result of the first sin. So now that man has sinned, the body is prevented from, the soul is prevented from doing that. Now there is a certain conclusion to be drawn from Hegel. So we've got the say that again, being in this world, being in the body, and performing this space, after a learning failure, by conduct, by behavior, this soul is progressing and becoming greater all the time. Its ability to penetrate becomes greater, but it cannot penetrate not because of itself, but because so Hashem has ordained as the result of the first sin, that is what is happening now. Through this, of course, the body suffers, because the body cannot be purified. My instruction is where the few sheep remain in bed. Right. Now, so, its deficiency that it cannot penetrate is not because of itself, but it's because of the body. But the soul goes on increasing in its own splendor, unable to penetrate the body. And the body suffers as a result of this. That's one thing. Now comes the very important thing. But the soul also suffers as a result of this, in that she is incarcerated and her splendor cannot spread. The radiance cannot shine forth. It's imprisoned. So the soul is also suffering from it. Now the body is suffering because it cannot be glorified. The soul is suffering that it cannot do it. It cannot, its radiance cannot go further. And another thing that the soul suffers, something else that the soul suffers, is that she cannot perform one of her functions. One of her functions is zikuch haguf, is the purification of the body. And now she is unable to perform that function. Being unable to perform that function is a deficiency of the soul. And now, had she been able to perform that sattva function, she would have been going towards the third perfection, because performing that function in itself is an act of perfection. Furthermore, one of the salient features of perfection, and one of its factors is, of perfection, perfecting something or somebody else also. Now, that is the purpose of the soul, to perfect the body, to be mezachech, to purify the body and to perfect the body. And she can't do it. So perfecting another is also part of the act of perfection. And that goes for everything. Nobody can come to an act of perfection, and don't forget I'm using perfection as a participle, unless one is also perfecting someone else. Whether it's a mother, a child, a father, a child, a master, a disciple, but there has to be a friend, another friend, but there has to be an act of perfecting also. Now, and finally, for what is the soul being created? It's being created in order to purify the body. That's the third function of the soul. And if it doesn't do it, that in itself is a serious deficiency. So we find that as a result of the soul being the body in this particular way, that it cannot influence the body, cannot purify the body suffers, the soul suffers that it is incarcerated, the soul suffers that it cannot engage in an act of perfecting the body, because the act of perfection requires that one perfects somebody else at the same time, or something else at the same time. It cannot do it. And finally, what it means that the soul is destined to have the function of perfecting, and she is prevented from doing so. Cannot do so. Lack of fulfillment. And that, of course, goes for every human being. That part of our work is that we each one has been created for a particular purpose. And if a person doesn't fulfill that purpose, it is a lack of great want in perfection, in the whole act of perfection, not being able to fulfill that purpose. Now, when the soul leaves the body and it is on the Olam or Emes, then it can shine. And then it increases its strength. But there it increases its strength from what happened here on earth. And there it can just shine. It can just and it makes up now for what it lost, for its being weakened by not being able to penetrate the body. We said that is bad for the perfection of the soul. And now on the Olam HaEmes, it makes up for all that. And when the time comes that it returns to the body and it's united with the body, then it is able to function, then it is able to purify the body, to be in a separate spot. That is something that we have covered already. Now, those who were here for the last shiur and the shiur before that, you can't possibly understand what I was saying. But those who were here, I hope that you will be able to have recaptured some of this. If there are any questions you want to ask me, I need to better ask me now. Excuse me just one moment. It does and it continues to do. For your Lord, he is passively, he dies to make it a chasm. Then it should, it does, it spreads and it shines more strongly, as we have mentioned. For also you might give me men as it will go. And strictly speaking, he's repeating it now on another level. And strictly speaking, at that stage, it should have an influence on the body and should do the purification of the body. But according to the divine decree, as we explained it above, that is only possible on the Olam HaNeshamos, that she should get that power that she can penetrate. So she becomes greater and greater within herself. One thing is lacking, that she can penetrate into the body and purify the body, and that she gets on the Olam HaNeshamos. Yeah. That paragraph is easy once we understand paragraph 12. Okay. Yes?
I'm sorry, Mark. I wasn't here last week and we have dealt with this issue, but if it's a decree from Hashem that the Neshama cannot penetrate the body and shine forth, then why is it possible for a new Yahoo who would see and it happened to him?
Yes, that's a really good question. Let me try and explain it to you. I'm saying, I said Elisha, of course, it's very good. See, the question is, if it is a divine decree that the soul can penetrate the body to be able to purify it, why did it happen in the case of Eliyahu? And it happened with a couple of others. Why did it happen there? If that is the decree, Then why does it happen? Yeah. I know somebody who was preparing for a high university degree. And this woman has got a husband and children, and she worked at home, and there were certain books that she needed, and these books were out of print, but they were in the university library. So she went to the professor and she said, could I borrow these books? He said, no, I can't give you permission to come. See what the librarian says. Go to the librarian. The librarian says, under no circumstances. Comes back to the professor. Professor says, yes, can't borrow anything of these books. She said, is that the last word? She said, well, try. Go to the head of the department. She goes to the head of the department. No, can't do it. How can I say you take those books? Those books cannot be taken out of the library. You've got to work with him, you work with him at the library. See, others want it also. She takes the trouble and goes through everything. Nobody else is doing anything like what is needed, for which those books are needed. Now she goes to the head of the faculty. And she pleads with the head of the faculty, and he looks at her record, she's got a good record. He says, all right, I'll see what I can do. He said, right, and he read out to her exactly what she can do. Terrible thing. Takes the books, puts them in her car, into the boot of her car. It's locked. This is already late in the afternoon. They have heavy books. He said, I'm not going to take the books out now. Tomorrow morning, my husband will take them out. And I will start with the body. Next, but they've got somebody studying with them. And she said, because you can use my car, I see you can use my car. She goes to the car the next day. The car is there. And the person is there, taking the car. She's not very well, but she heard a noise in the early hours of the morning, as if the car had dashed into something. Anyway, the car doesn't come back that day, and this person doesn't come back that day. It comes back 2 or 3 days later. Where have you been? Well, I was busier than everything. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I was busier than that. Had you attend to my work and everything? She asks her husband to go to the car and bring out the books. Goes to the car, books on there. She goes to the man and says, where are the books? He said, what books? I don't have any books. The books aren't there. She's got to go to the university and say, I haven't got the books. The books aren't there. They're taken out of the car. The university says, right, you are barred from the university. You cannot take this degree. Not only that, you will be barred from any other university in this country and barred from taking out any book from any university library in the country. Can't do that. As to work with those books, she's very clever, works without those books, very, very handicapped. Comes every now and then back to university. They don't even want to see her. Never mind speak to you. They want to see you. Yes, they want to see you. After 2 or 3 years, she says, well, just have a look at some of the work I did. They are so impressed with me. So, oh, by the way, the week, about 3 months later, Three months later, she's taking gasoline to the garage, and the owner of the garage, the gas station, they call it here, owner of the gas station comes out, and he hears the garage and the gas station together. Then he said that we just had a gas station, so the gas station, the garage, the building, comes out and says, you take a university course. You know, I've got some university books up in the history of the country. She goes to university. She's overjoyed. She takes them to university. They take them. Yes, Gandhi did get them. Somebody came in with a car. It had to. It was dented, and they had to take out the thing. They took out the books, and they couldn't trace the person. They paid for it and went away, and they couldn't find out who it was. That's how it was. She takes the books back again to the university library. They take the books. They say, the books we want back, but you we won't get those ones. And then this took a 2 or 3 years in the end, and they made a decree under those circumstances. What happened? She was too good. But she's really clever. But she was too good and very clear, such clear thinking and clear writing. There's Paul of Physics in his history. Clear thinking and clear writing. They said, you know, yeah, I've got to make an exception. We're not going to just give you a degree. Let's see what you can do. All right, you can go to the library. Only in the library. Go to the library and let's see what you can do. That can happen. There are always exceptional circumstances. Try whatever you do in life not to work with a person. Everything must be according to the book. This is what the book says. Can't do anything else. But you will lose it. Doesn't matter. This is what the book says. It will cost you $100,000. This is what the book says. This is the Bible. These are the Bibles. Can't do anything. I told the name of case in Los Angeles. It was a Mr. James. In 1922, he had the whole of Westwood. Now, the whole of Westwood, having the whole of Westwood, in Los Angeles, was there. Same as having the whole of the Sahara Desert. So what are you going to do with it? So he had a very clever idea. He said, the UCLA had only started. He said, I'll give you 1,000 acres for a present. He said, 1,000 acres we'll give you for a present. We know why you want to give us 1,000 acres. You want us to develop Westwood for you. I'm prepared to give you 1,000. We'll have a meeting. They had a meeting. Some said we shouldn't take it at all. Said anyway, they decided to take 300 acres. There was one man in the university who said, please take 1,000 acres. You will need it. We will expand it. We need 1,000 acres. Take it. It's been given to you for nothing. Take it. No, we don't need it. We don't need it. It would be an extra expense. We'd have to keep it the ground. You might have to pay taxes on it. We don't need it. We won't pay. Pleaded with this man, pleaded and pleaded with him. Won't take. They took 300. Well, I don't have to tell you the result of the story. They need thousands. They haven't got room. They can't spread in Westwood. So they've got the university in all different parts of the town now. One right out of their place, Riverdale or Riverside something. Right out there they have to go. Can't get the ground. This man, he said, you've got to take it, you've got to take it, he's still alive. And he's a professor at the university. So a certain gentleman was asked, in fact I asked the question, I said, a man like that, what is he now? He's a professor. I said, only a professor? He was only a professor. I said, but the man like that should have been the principal of the university. He should have been the chancellor of that. He said, oh no, he shouldn't have been. And this is a really remarkable business. He said, oh no, he shouldn't have been. If he couldn't have pulled this through, with everybody opposing it, but he knows it's right, and he couldn't have pulled it through, no good. I said, but there's a constitution, he's got you, but he says that he does it illegally, but he knows it's right, and he can't pull it through. That's not a leader. He can't be the head of the leader. He is where he should be. That's where he is. And now he speaks every year, he gives a lecture on what could have been. That is all he deserves. Nothing more. You've got to realize. You've got to realize. So, and as Johann Novi said, I'm going to break through this. Let me break through. Look what it says in the laws. Look what it says in the bylaws. Look what it says in the constitution. Look at the amendment. Can't do it. Says, I don't care. I'm going to do it. I've got it in me. I know I can do it. Gets it through. Gets it through. Against the amendment. That is it. Then it can be a leader. And when I told my other shears, my men shears, somebody said that's exactly what Rousseau did. He did all things against the Congress and everything. He had to get America into the war. He knew that this was a make or break for civilization. So they went against Congress and everything, got America into the war. That's a leader. Knows exactly what has to be done. All right. Let's answer your questions. Have you fun? But okay, the Shuvah Beguf Achra Besiyo Lo Nishmai Selech Yisal. When it returns into the body, now this is a very easy paragraph. It's the last paragraph in the chapter. Not only is it an easy paragraph, but it is so comforting. It is so sweet. There's nothing bitter about it. You've got honey and sugar and spice and everything that's nice in this one paragraph. But now, when the soul returns to the body, then it returns to the body in all its brilliance and with all its strength. And then, immediately, it starts the process of purifying the body. But with a zikuch godol, with a great purification. And it isn't necessary to have growth little by little, as it is necessary for children now. Child is born, grows little by little, then it isn't necessary. Elo miyodvish also choyvo, but immediately it is joined with the body together, immediately it shines, penetrates, umiyatzezakecheyu zikruch godol, and immediately it purifies the body with a great purification. Do you want me to explain that to you in one sentence? And that is, man is now back again to where he was before the sin. Provided, of course, that he's worked his soul is worth, in this world his soul is worth, then he's back again to where he was now before the sin. So, at the time of the first man, for omnom lovina zeshi yule gupala mishova yakari lui matri yu, he says it doesn't mean now that there is not going to be progress, spiritual progress, for both body and soul. This is on the Olam HaTechiyo. This is after the resurrection. Doesn't mean to say that it just purifies the body immediately and that, no. It says the only thing is it won't start from where we are now and purify. It will purify immediately to the degree that man was before the hate, before the sin, and after that it progresses, it goes from height to height, from level to level. Avolo inyanu shemiyot deva al neshoma bagut yiri odem aruzoka venale. But what it all amounts to is that from the moment that the body, re-enters the body, at that moment, the man will attain his honor and his glory and his splendor. The gufo yekabel miyad zikuch rishon, and his body will immediately receive the first degree of purification. Many degrees, but that's the first degree. He will be much greater at that moment than he was at any time during his life upon earth. So he starts off with a tremendous advantage. Now, will everybody be the same? I don't know. He says the purification will be commensurate with his life there upon earth. That will be the purification. Why? Because that will be the strength of the soul. Will it have 60 watts or 100 watts or 200 watts or 1,000 watts? It will depend. That will depend what he has. Yeah. So, not everybody will be the same, but a person must have companionship. And he will be with all those who are in the same grade. So, if he just makes it, he's in first grade. If he's a little bit better, he's in the third grade, fourth grade. He could perhaps even go into ninth grade, into tenth grade. But then the important thing is with tenth graders and not with first graders. So, with whom are you going to be there? You want to be with your good friends? Choose your friends carefully. Choose them carefully. Otherwise, you might be with undesirables. You'll be in the eighth grade and they'll be in first grade. Not very nice. Very uncomfortable. Linda, what did you want to ask? Yes, very much so. All your learning, your doing the mitzvahs, your behavior, your conduct, your derech eretz, all this comes, your help of others, all this comes in, everything together. That is what makes self, what makes the human being, what makes the personality. Jenna? I'm sorry, yes, carry on, Linda.
It's not one particular person, but it is a whole of all the ones.
That's right. Oh, yes.
So if one observes just the myth like that they are a fine person and does not have the well, which is a myth like that.
He doesn't. He's got a very hard time. And don't forget, not everybody makes Olam HaTechiyah. The person who doesn't believe in it doesn't make it. And if a person who is coarse, he doesn't make it. And there's got to be refinement. Gemma?
I'm just wanted to ask if. Is it that in the life before the fall, there was a large opportunity for the soul to shine, to purify the body, to do the things that it was meant to do? And after the fall, there is still some possibilities here now.
Well, you've got to be careful of some possibilities. There are possibilities in America for a person to become a billionaire. Donald Trump became a billionaire. There are possibilities. But don't rely on it too much. See, of course there are possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It happened here in your Hanoi.
No, I don't mean that.
Yes, what do you mean?
I mean, I thought that it said that you're saying that there are some There's some things that the soul can do on this earth.
Yes.
Some things, much, much smaller in proportion.
That is. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. That the soul, it becomes stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything to that body. But that doesn't mean nothing at all. Something it can do. 1%, perhaps. 2%. Something it can do. But not with everybody. Some cases it just makes it less. Some cases it makes it better, just a very little bit. Some cases more. Mm-hmm. So if it makes it 4%, 4% is twice as much as 2%, it's pretty much more. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lisa.
I've seen that the comparison between the life before the test and Alamaxia is not. I mean, as I understand, there's a difference that in all I have to say, there doesn't seem to be that the body is doing anything to the soul at this point. The soul is already perfect. It's perfected.
Well, it's not the body that does for the soul. The body doesn't do anything for the soul. The body is merely the instrument of the soul.
For the sake of itself.
For everything. It's the instrument.
And what needs to be done in all I have to say?
On the all I have to say, where the soul purifies the body. That is the gift. And it increases in its own strength. And in the already on the Olam HaEmes, it increases its own strength. But everything from what it has done here, from what it has achieved here. So in the next chapter is not such a difficult chapter at all. Yes.
If the husband and wife were, when a husband and wife die, and the husband is, say, grade 10,
yes.
The wife is not,
yes.
Will they see each other? No.
You can ask a better question. What happens if the wife has got the type of husband that she doesn't want to see? Or the husband has got a wife that he doesn't want to see?
Yes,
what do you think to happen then?
I didn't mean in that way. I meant that
yes.
He studies all the time, or he's and she's just not at that level, not because she doesn't want to be, but she just is not in grade 10.
Well, you see, very much is made of it to the extent of how much the wife helps the husband. If it is a wife that says to the husband, what's the time? He says, 10 to 5. What? He says, 10 to 5. What have you got to get up so early and disturb me for? So I'm going to shoot. Again to shoot. Every morning to shoot. Well, she's not going to worry him in the whole of the field. Then he won't have that trouble.
But if it's not that kind of life, then she will see.
Oh, then she is, yes. Oh, yes, very much so. So, let's be careful how we teach from that.
Oh, wow. Only one soul?
Beg your pardon?
I thought they were one soul.
Can't understand.
You thought they were one soul once they were married. Is that what you're saying?
That's for homiletics, yes. depends to what extent. They become one body very easily. But that depends to what extent. So, you see, but there is something else you've got to understand. You see, we are listening to this and absorbing it, and we are translating it into our own physical terms. And that is something one has to be careful of. This isn't geographical. We had a gentleman here for dinner last Friday night. And he was speaking, and amongst the things that we were speaking about, just happened, by the way, the association of the Jewish Orthodox Sciences we've mentioned. And I know that this is the case because we've discussed it on several levels already with the various people all over the world. Until about 20 years ago, this association of Jewish Orthodox Sciences was predominantly over physicists. Today, since the last 20 years, what has happened is it's become predominantly medical and psychology. And we've discussed it various times, and we all felt it was a pity. And I said, you know, it's a very great pity, because physics is really an exact science, whereas medicine, with all due respect, and psychology and psychiatry with a little less respect, are not exact sciences. Not exact sciences. So he said, yes, he said, he agrees with that. He said, but you know, they're even in physics, and I said, you see, and they're not exact sciences, and what I find, the medical profession and the psychiatric and the psychologists are doing is, even those that they've got some idea of flavor, they are twisting medicine and psychiatry and psychology to they twisting Torah to fit into medicine, psychology, and psychiatry. Homosexuality is the Torah, it's a terrible thing in the Torah, but the Torah doesn't understand it. Today we understand it. Or there's a new Torah didn't understand that there's a different type of homosexuality, or the Torah didn't mean that type of homosexuality, all that, just to fit into to the scheme. And then circumcision isn't good for the body. But 2 years ago you said it was the most wonderful thing for the body. That was 2 years ago, but today we say, and 2 years time they'll say it's a wonderful thing again. But the Torah says circumcision, well, those days it was necessary, today it was unnecessary, the usual thing. So I said, so he said, you know, medicine can't explain it, and he said there are things that in physics we can't explain also. According to the Torah, the physics doesn't work out with the Torah. So I said, you know, that surprises me, give me an example. So he gave me an example. So I said, well, I can give you two answers to it. He said, well, let me guess. I gave him the one answer and challenged it. He wasn't prepared to accept it. And then I gave him another answer, and just very carefully. And he said, well, that's different. Listen very carefully. And what I said to him was that we are dealing with a different dimension. That we deal with physics, and now when we are dealing with Torah, we are dealing with a different dimension. And physics has got to take this dimension into consideration. This is an added dimension, it's another dimension. So he thought, and he said, yes, it's absolutely not an acceptable. Now, it's another dimension that I don't want to go into the details of, it's far too complicated to be sure that we stay limited for time. So, there also, there is another dimension. Now, let me try and explain it. We have to deal with parents who like following their children. Their children are going to Israel. Well, we want to be with our children, we go to Israel. Their children are in Israel for 5 years. It took them 3 years to join their children. They've had 2 years of their children. All of a sudden, their children say, look here, you know, we can't make a suitable living here in Israel. And we've asked the Shire, and they've paid us, I think it's a question of making living, we're allowed to leave Israel. We are going to Israel. Got a chance to go to Israel. Now they want to follow the children to England. The children are 5 years in England, And the husband has got a wonderful opportunity. He could be in a big place in America, in a university. He's going to America. We try to explain to parents, don't run after your children. But they say, we want to be together with our children. Now, there is a certain dimension which they haven't got. We have got children in Los Angeles and grandchildren. Very close by, see them often. But we've also got children in Israel. We've got a son and a daughter-in-law in Israel, and our daughter-in-law is as dear to us as our son. We've got our children and grandchildren in Israel. We've got our son and our daughter-in-law, she's as dear to us as our daughter, in South Africa. But we don't feel that we are not with them. We are very much with them. They are doing exactly what we want them to do. They are in Torah, heaven's shoulders in Torah. They are perfecting not only themselves, but perfecting others also. It's exactly what we want them to do. Now, we get such nachas from that. We don't feel that we're not the same. Can you see it's another dimension? But at first there are people who can't understand that. And they say, but they're not with you, you don't see them. You don't see the grandchildren growing up. See, but we do see them growing up. We know exactly where they are in their learning. We see them growing up. We feel them growing up. It's another dimension altogether. Am I making myself clear? So it's not right to say that when you say, well, do you see them? Are they with you? That isn't the dimension. The dimension is another. Man's position in this world and the way that is open to him in greater detail, that is the translation of the superscription. Aristotle has got it, human responsibility. It's a very metaphorical translation. The literal translation is the one that I've given you. Don't forget that I've taught you only take the literal translation first. And my previous one, I think the aim is in Bokhni Shay Shnayyam. When one considers man's position in this world, there are two aspects to it. What are the two aspects? Very simply. Chilas Atmos in Odom Achaloka Baya Kodeho. First of all, there is man himself. The nature of man himself. The nature with which he has been born, his temperament, that which he has inherited from his father and his mother. Those are things which we inherit. The hereditary factor, the factor of the intrinsicality of the human being, one factor. Welcome, I shall be. You send by the whole mass in his life. The other factor in a man's life is environment. Where he finds himself. What is the surrounding in which he finds himself? Who are the people within his mixes? What is the work he does? What is his profession? What is his business? What is his trade? The whole environment. Those are the two things that govern man in the question of what is his position here in this world. And here opens up a completely new chapter on the subject. And it goes into the subject. And that, ladies, is where we stop today. Now,
need to be on the civil committee, is that right?
Can you tell
me? This is giving Washington's birthday, Richard's birthday, anything like that. What is it?
He started what he did also, and then he said, then he's got to provide, he's like a tailor, he's like a dog, bathing his teeth, growls, ready to bite, got his supply, and then he's old, he's like a mountain. And it shows a goodness, sends peace, sends everything. Has it got to be like that? No. It can be like that from the beginning. It's only one thing you've got to know. I'm the person who's been from the opera. Never missed an opera. And he had the fantasy that when he would retire, he would become an opera singer. And his greatest triumph would be if he would be able to sing on the Metropolitan, what is it called? Stage. In New York. Why he should have chosen New York to purchase the Covent Garden, I don't know. But that was the greatest what he wanted to do. Now, this is a foolish question, you said impossible, but I had a wonderful time with him, and I think you said that's a wonderful idea. So you start taking singing lessons when you retire. When you be 65, start, and then you've got a chance. Have you got a chance in the world? If you're going to sing on the button, you start when you're 2 years old, you're already starting there. Otherwise, you haven't got a chance in the world. If you want to reach that stage, then if our Melech David proclaims that in old age you are a king, you've got to start in the young. And if you start off at 1 year of age and you're a king, you've got to carry it right through. And then you can be a king in your age also. But not otherwise. And the Midrash makes a lot of these opening words, the Hamelech David Zokem. He's a Zokem, that he's a Melech. King Lewin, he was old, was no longer a Melech. But the Hamelech David Zokem, but the King David was old. Yes, Ashura.
I have a question.
Is
it a person being a Torah? In the beginning of the Torah, you start the word and you continue it. So what is it for that figure of God survives to start out the way?
Yes.
You have to really start out
the
way of 1 year old.
That's a very good question, and there are several answers to that question. And I'm going to explain to you a couple of them. The first one is quite a rational approach to it. You know, it is possible for a person not to be brought up in faith, and still he gets a tremendous amount of faith. The example I always like to give is a person about whom I happen to have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, and that is Bertrand Russell. Now Bertrand Russell is one of the greatest minds of this century. I wrote 3 volumes of an autobiography, and it is a very fine autobiography because he doesn't try and make of himself something that he isn't, and there is no one there whom he dedicates.
he's got something, but he speaks about a person, speaks only about his good points. That is that there from the great community like us, that is the only level in which he's able to contact with people. He is very careful with his ability to contact. Now there is a girl, a good believer. He is not a terrorist, he didn't believe. But he had a wonderful upbringing. He was 16 years of age, 16 years of age, he was already on his own. He had a wonderful upbringing. And his whole life is very disciplined and very honorable and very of the highest integrity. When he was 93, now he was a great mathematician at one stage, and even briefly was how a certain mathematician from Germany invited him and wanted to come and see him. And he was afraid he used to get in touch with him because he'd been out of mathematics for about 20 years. And this man was a great mathematician, and he didn't think he would be able to hold his own. Then he started reasoning with himself. Is that the right thing to do or not? Because I am a coward and I am afraid to face him, therefore I do not extend the courtesy of allowing him to come and see me when he wants to come and see me. He said, no, I can't do that. He wrote in the letter of the peace of God. Now that is Bertrand Russell, you see. This is a very important point. But what he does completely in accordance with Torah. When the man comes and he's very happy. The man of course got him onto a mathematical subject. And Bertrand Russell was astounded at himself. How he remembered and how he was able to get into the subject again, and he was able to hold his own. Now there you've got that goal. This is what. We want to speak to you about Walter Cronkite. If a person asks me today, what do I expect of a girl? How much can I expect of a girl today? What training does he get in Derech Eretz? The Derech Eretz that has come down to the girl through the Torah. What training does he get? Well, the man is married to the same wife that he was married to always. He's got a wonderful relationship with her. He's been wonderful to his mother. Always the gentleman. That is one answer. A person who is not given the opportunity, nevertheless has that possibility, and uses his mind all the time. All the time he's using his mind, has that possibility. That is one thing. There is another thing, and that is the Baal Tshuva. Now, a Baal Tshuva, you see, it happens always with words, they become so happy that they lose all their meaning. And anybody today is a Baal Tshuva. Now, the ideal of the Baal Tshuva is to only become the Baal Tshuva, and I hope you'll be able to appreciate my brief. He only becomes a Baal Tshuva when he's no longer a Baal Tshuva. Then he is the real Baal Tshuva. But he doesn't feel himself as a Baal Tshuva any longer. And then anybody else looks at him and you say, you know that person about you, the Baal Tshuva. What do you mean the Baal Tshuva? So ordinary is an ordinary based oil. And when I spoke to some gentleman recently to some rabbi, who were very well engaged with Baal Tshuva, and they discussed matters with him, I said, the first thing you've got to do with the Baal Tshuva is to make him a mensch. That is the first thing. And then you've made him a mensch, then make him a Baal Tshuva, and then make him post Baal Tshuva, and then make him that he's no longer Baal Tshuva. Then you achieve your purpose. But when you reach that stage, and he's no longer a Baal Tshuva, what it is that has happened, that Hashem does then, is then comes the Siddhartha Ishmael. and he gives him all that opportunity that he had left that before, and he is able to rectify. That is a source of Hashem. That is a gift from Hashem. That is something that happens. So those are things we've got to bear into consideration. All right? So it's good to remember that these seven stages of man, and it sounds so pessimistic, and how pessimistic it is in Shakespeare, and I learned it in Shakespeare, read it in Shakespeare before I knew the Midrash, and I remember how despondent it made me. So is this the end of it all? Then I saw the Midrash. Good. Altogether a different thing. Even in old age, there is all the stateliness, there is all the grandeur, there is all the splendor, there is all the majesty. But there is even for old age. They wait until a person retires, and then now he wants to be a king. Too late. Can't do anything at that stage anymore. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't understand the image of the king that you get when you look at of the child on his own is very different than the image of a king that I have when you talk about King David. And yet they were just, I believe, I'm not really just the same word. And yourself, when you walk through the first description, you said, and he's got the king, he's the son of the universe, all loves and sins, but only the son of the
Yes.
So I'm not sure how to understand the same meaning of the word king. I'll be sure to understand it.
I'll explain it to you. You know, we speak about a mature person. Right? When is a person mature? At what age?
And you mean
not only
sensible person?
Only mature. You were almost right. It's not each, it varies with each person. It varies with each age of each person. A boy of 10 can be mature for a 10-year-old. A girl of 18 can be mature for a girl of 18 years of age, and she can be very immature for a girl of 18. And a person of 25 can be mature but only for 25. And a person of 70 can be mature but only for a person of 70. When he's 71, he's more mature. You follow him? And the maturity of 71 is quite a different maturity from the maturity of a 10-year-old. But a 10-year-old is mature, for a 10-year-old is mature. There's a balance between his emotional self and his intellectual self. There's a balance there. The one hasn't run away with the other. He really acts well under the circumstances, but for his age. Same as with a king. A 1 year old, a king. He doesn't need any effort. 2 year old, a 3 year old, that already depends upon the parents. But a king, for a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and then for 10-year-old. At each stage it is like that, and one stage isn't equal to the other. Have you got the idea?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I've left the more difficult sentence for next time. that means so you don't have a share.
Of course.
It's next week is not the seal.
next week is the shiur at which he will be a strictly.
Yeah.
Yeah?
The spirit is to have itself as a shiur, a kind of shiur, at which we will have it today. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd just like to know if you want to share it with how it's here or how it's going to be.
I think
you have to see
this.
Well,
the
spirit
says that. The scene will be, the scene will be, the conclusion of the scene,
yes. I haven't really discussed it with anybody yet, but that's in my own thinking. I think that we should, if possible, if we can arrange it, have it, have we, tails, cuts, and salad. And I would like to ask a few of the ladies to have both a couple of forks. Thank you very much for the discussion, but I would like to just find out from the ladies, does that speak with their approval? Well, that's another thing we have to discuss. Alex, it does count for 7.
And you don't need to wait here.
Well, it's only a scene and a...
Yes,
yeah. About 7 seats or 3,000 later.
You've noticed...
But if you start in your appeal...
You've noticed that I am trying to start punctually nowadays.
So, suddenly we start up at
7:30.
I would like, please, if possible, two ladies to come and help me set up the scene, which means I'd have to come at about 6:40. So,
I will now
start in until then.
I'm not invited. Because there's just this, it's a public call to be called to contact.
It's having so many things on the go at the same time. So I could call him seven, I could do that. He will be. You can't do that. You can't do it if you
say. I don't want to do it because I can't come up with
that.
Susan may have them.
No, but what happens if we...
I don't know.
We brought matters. I don't know if Susan may have them.
They weren't ours. Not that I know.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
yes. And exactly, is that what you or what?
Okay. Are there any other?